Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
No sign of the drama abating in the US presidential race. So let's check in now with Katrina Perry, chief presenter at BBC News in Washington. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So where are we at this morning? I see the New York Times is reporting now that President Biden is, quote, stewing at his beach house, growing resentful towards Democratic leaders.
I don't doubt that he is, Brendan, because there's been quite the move against him, building to somewhat of a crescendo in the last 48 or 50 hours. Of course, he has COVID, left the campaign trail early from Las Vegas, flying back to his house in Delaware to isolate there, having just returned to the campaign trail 2 days earlier because he had paused it following the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And there's a real sense that pressure is continuing to mount on him at this point. We've had now four senators and well over 20 Democratic members of the House of Representatives all saying publicly that it's time for him to step aside, that it's time for somebody else to lead the top of the ticket for the Democratic Party heading into the November elections, which are only 3.5 months away. I mean, considering how long presidential election cycles are, this is very late in the day for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, but then as they make the point, like other countries have, you know, have elections within a month or 6 weeks or whatever, but that is not the way it is in America. So there seems to be, there was a kind of a clamour building again last night that he might step down this weekend or Monday or whatever. Does that seem imminent now?
It's really difficult to tell. I mean, there are some of these individuals who are coming out publicly, like close ally Seth Moulton writing a letter in the Boston Globe saying it's time for him to go. There are other close friends like Senator Chris Coons, who is kind of Joe Biden's best friend, if you like. He's over in Aspen at the moment and he's saying, no, the president is going nowhere. But using language like our likely candidate as opposed to definitely our candidate, I suppose the media is on knife edge here. We've all been put on call lest something happen over this weekend. He's still in Delaware. He's due to come back to Washington tomorrow. The other factor to bear in mind is the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is due here on Wednesday to address a joint session of Congress on Capitol Hill. And we know that Joe Biden and Netanyahu are very close allies. And I don't think Joe Biden would want to kind of go anywhere before that happens. And perhaps it gives him the perfect platform in a way to have one final moment on the world stage, two world leaders together. We know how critical that alliance is, particularly here for certain parts of the electorate. So maybe that's a kind of final mark to happen.
Okay. You mentioned the Democratic Congressman Seth Moulton there. Did he say that Biden didn't recognize him when he met him recently?
That's what he wrote in the column in the Boston Globe. He's a congressman from Massachusetts, and he said they were in Normandy for the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and he didn't seem to recognize them, he said. And Seth Moulton, just to put in context, is a very close friend of Joe Biden's. Joe Biden would have been somewhat of a mentor to him. They would have a very close relationship. So ordinarily, he would absolutely definitely know who Seth Moulton is and make a beeline for him in any room that both men might be in together. And the tone that Seth Moulton took in that piece in the Boston Globe is very similar to what we're hearing from all of the members who've come out, that how much they love Joe Biden, how much of a great servant he's been to America, but how important and how critical this coming election is. And they're fearful that not only can they not win the presidential election, but with Joe Biden on the ticket, they won't be able to flip the House or hold the Senate either.
So can we talk about the day after then? Because I think this is unclear, certainly to a lot of us here. If he does step aside, say he steps aside next week, what happens then? How does it work? Can they just nominate another candidate?
In theory, they can. And this is the part the Democratic Party are wrestling with themselves. Like, there's three parts to this. Do we remove Biden? How do we remove Biden? And what happens next? And they seem to have come to point one and two, but they've no idea what happens on point three. The convention is 4 weeks away. The delegates have been already pledged to Joe Biden. He's come through the primary system, and that's what he keeps saying in all of these statements and remarks where he says he's going nowhere, that a democratic primary system has happened in the party, and the people have spoken, essentially, not the elected members, to say that they want Joe Biden. You could have an open convention whereby other names are put forward from the stage and then delegates are released by Joe Biden, and they could then pledge themselves for whoever, and it would be like, you know, it would be like kind of like a school election, for want of a better expression. There'd be four or five people on a stage and you could decide who you were going to vote for. That would give an even greater sense of chaos and disarray in the Democratic Party than what's already underway.
And Katrina, would they also kind of be in limbo for 4 weeks on, if he steps down? They want him to step down sooner rather than later. Does it mean they'd have no effective candidate in the field as well, which seems weird, doesn't it?
It would. So this is, again, the decision about what happens if they get to the point where Joe Biden agrees to step aside. Does he, in making that speech himself, endorse his vice president, Kamala Harris, and essentially there is no election within the party, that she is the nominee?
Okay.
The concern about that is that it looks like a coronation, and they don't want that either.
Okay, so even if they do get, as you say, step one and two, him to step down, there's still potential for complete chaos on the other side of that as well, in a way.
There absolutely is. Another suggestion is they'd hold a mini primary before the convention, and maybe Barack Obama and Bill Clinton would have a role in that, and there'd be a kind of mini stump speeches and a mini sort of travelling around the country to different states. But again, that takes time. You know, you don't want people within your party this close to polling day debating each other and saying so-and-so is weak on this and weak on the other. And if that person ends up being the candidate, then within their party, people have been taking pot shots at them with just a few weeks to go. So it's really very messy, and there's no agreement at this point within the party what they do about that. And if they do kind of have a coronation for Kamala Harris, then you move to the point of who's the vice president. Again, no natural heir or heiress there ready to step into the breach. This is going to be a very, very tight election fought in just a handful of states. You need something that's going to help you win in those states, particularly now that Donald Trump has selected J.D. Vance, the Ohio senator, as his vice president.
And speaking of that, you were at that extraordinary Republican convention this week. What was it like?
It really was extraordinary, Brendan. That's a good word to use for it. You know, I was at the convention in 2016 when Donald Trump was kind of persona non grata within the Republican Party, and the Never Trump movement was there very vocally, and it was not a unified party. Obviously, the 2020 convention basically happened virtually because of COVID. But this was a very united party. It was a very choreographed convention. The Make America Great Again signs, which were almost homemade in 2016, were everywhere. The merchandise shop in the stadium was selling T-shirts and caps and anything you could think of with Make America Great Again emblazoned on it. The policies that we heard from the stage were all MAGA policies. There was no room at all for those individuals within the Republican Party who are not fans of Donald Trump. They weren't featured there at all. It was like a rock concert at times. It was like being at a UFC fight in Las Vegas at other times. The atmosphere within the arena. I mean, we know Donald Trump does TV and does big events really well. And certainly you could feel that brought to bear. I mean, we had Hulk Hogan and Kid Rock on the final night. And all the delegates there going absolutely crazy. And it couldn't be in more contrast to what's happening in the Democratic Party. You had a unified party on one side, a party in disarray on the other. You had a president who's ill with COVID walking very frailly down the steps of Air Force One on one side of your screen. On the other side of your screen, you had an individual only 3 years younger, let's remember, but full of energy, skipping up steps and wearing that bandage on his right ear. Of course, the assassination attempt on Saturday, and which he spoke about.
Okay, Katrina Perry, chief presenter at BBC News in Washington, thank you. I'd say you're either delighted you went back to work in America, or else you're thinking, oh my God, what did I get myself into? But look, I'm glad you're there anyway. We all are. At least we have one sane, objective voice we know and trust from there. We'll talk to you again. Thanks, Katrina.
Absolutely. Thanks. Bye. Bye.